Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's easy to prove it was arson. You can't prove it unless you got them on camera or they admit it.
The bathroom and mechanical room facility for the new Moorhead splash pad was approved this morning.
Kentucky 519 has reopened after a logging truck accident.
The old American Legion building in Moorhead is getting a new life.
The police department honored two of their longtime members as they prepare for retirement.
Members of the Moorhead State University Theater Department are headed overseas.
In sports, the Reds start a two-game series in Detroit tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 68. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Rowan County road is now open after a logging truck accident closed the road this morning. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, District 10, said in a Facebook post that Kentucky 519 near Clack Mountain in Rowan County was closed this morning because a logging truck lost its load. Traffic was detoured through Kentucky 801 to Farmers, and then drivers used U.S. 60 or Interstate 64. The road was closed for several hours.
Moorhead City Council agreed to a $185,000 contract to build a new mechanical room and bathroom facility for the new splash pad Tuesday morning. The accepted bid from Owens Building and Contracting came in $30,000 higher than anticipated. City Planner Rodney Fouch said one problem was that the project was too small for large construction companies and too intimidating for many local contractors.
To be honest, we got one bid. And I can't afford to bring these materials on site without some money up front. One guy wanted to bid it, he just couldn't get it in time, but he called me after I got the single bid and he said, well, it's just as well because I was about $50,000 higher anyway.
Fouch said that bidding the project out in pieces has added to confusion to potential contractors. Councilwoman Jan Bishop asked that a budget with a breakdown of all the anticipated cost for the splash pad be supplied for the August 13th regular city council meeting.
A Moorhead City Council candidate says the construction of the new water treatment facility will be vital to the city's future economic development. Mike Cash spoke during the July meeting of Moorhead New Cities, pointing to the new treatment facility as an important stepping stone to attracting major job creators.
The new sewer plant and our new water treatment facility that we're putting in, that will help us with industry. At this point right now, we couldn't build a new factory if one wanted to come here until we get the new water treatment facility in place. That's already in place. You're getting ready to start. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in Moorhead.
The Moorhead State University graduate has lived in the city for more than 45 years and is currently serving his first term as a council member. His challengers for the council seats this fall include Tom Carew, Paul Hitchcock, Beth Ousley, Melissa Patrick, David Perkins, and Glenn Teeger. Election day is November 6th.
The former American Legion building in Moorhead is being converted into a residential housing complex. Located between Pasquale's and the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music, the building is now owned by EDG Entertainment. Company representative Dan Markwell says there will be 6 rental units in the new building, which will also receive a refresh to its exterior in addition to renovated interior space.
We're purchasing the building from the university. They surplused it. And it's set up pretty nicely to put in some apartments into it. That's about the only thing it's really good for. So we're going to put 6 units in it, 2 two-bedroom and 4 one-bedroom. That meets the space acreage requirement and ample parking for that amount of units.
The local Joint Planning Commission approved the first reading of a preliminary development plan for the complex during a special meeting on July 11th. The commission plans to approve the second reading at its next regular meeting on August 1st.
After a brief snag, the Rowan County Historical Society is moving forward with restoration of the old jail near the Rowan County Arts Center. The Historical Society has been working to get bids on possible roof replacements for the building. They had considered changing the type of roof, but Society President Gary Lewis says they're going to stick with the original building design.
So to go back with the traditional flat roof bid, the main reason we do that is because there are no permit requirements for that, because it's a replacement of an existing roof, and we don't have to have any engineers' approvals or anything like that to do the repair.
The Historical Society must now rebid the project with a single roof type in mind, then present the bids to the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
The Moorhead Police Department honored two longtime officers last week. Mike Curtis and Matt Sally have both decided to retire after two decades with the force. During a celebration of their work, Curtis said there was an obvious shift in crime in the area from when he first began his career in law enforcement.
And I guess just the influx of opioids has really changed the community. It's, you know, that was an unknown thing in the 90s. You never heard of heroin. It was an inner city thing. That's, you know, I didn't worry about that. That's downtown Chicago, you know.
Both Curtis and Sally plan to spend more time with their families as they enjoy their retirement.
Moorhead State University and Rowan County officials are continuing to express interest in a public recreational facility. MSU is looking to cut facility costs and is looking at granting use of the Laughlin Health Building to the Rowan County Fiscal Court. Moorhead State President Dr. Jay Morgan spoke at the court's July meeting.
I think there is an evaluation or a group that's looking at it. Wanted to say that we're interested from a university standpoint of if we can find a good placement with the community, city, county, tourism, etc., that we're certainly interested in being a good town and town partner. And if it's good for the community, I think it's good for us.
If the plan goes through, the county would gain access to the building as well as the university-owned parking lot across Main Street. The Moorhead State Police and bowling team would maintain their presence within that facility.
Staff, students, and recent graduates with the Moorhead State University Theater Department will be heading overseas today. The group will be heading to Edinburgh, Scotland to perform Einstein's Dreams at the Fringe Festival, the largest arts festival in the world. Octavia Biggs is the director of the Little Company at Moorhead State University. She says the festival is a huge opportunity.
There's over 3 million people that come to this festival. It's huge. And there's like 300,000 different performances, total performances of shows. There's every type of performance theater that you can imagine.
MSU is one of seven schools in the United States selected to perform at the festival. The Little Company will be in Scotland for 2 weeks, performing their production four times.
Kentucky's interim education commissioner says he's offered the state's largest school district a settlement to avoid a takeover, but has yet to receive a response. Wayne Lewis told the Courier-Journal on Monday he gave Jefferson County Public Schools a proposal on July 16th and met with Superintendent Marty Polio and School Board Chair Diane Porter a few days later. He says the proposal would give the state enhanced oversight, like veto authority, without taking full management away. Lewis has announced the state takeover back in April, citing low-performing schools, achievement gaps, and abuse. The district's board voted unanimously in May to appeal to the State Board of Education in September. With a deadline of August 1st to respond to Lewis's proposal, district spokeswoman Allison Martin says it remains under review. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Recreation Center offers basketball and racquetball courts, fitness areas, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track, and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures features camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddleboards for Eagle Lake and Bouldering Wall. Lockers, towel service, group fitness classes, and personal training. Day passes and community memberships are now available for summer 2018. More information at 783-2083.
Kentucky is home to the best-looking police cruiser. Here is KNN's Haley Hansen.
The American Association of State Troopers held a competition for America's best-looking cruiser. People were able to cast their vote by liking an individual photo of a state's police cruiser on their Facebook page. This year's race came down to a tie, which was broken by the amount of heart reactions on the photo. Both Kentucky State Police and Georgia State Police received just under 30,000 likes for their cruisers, but Kentucky came out on top with 1,900 loves. I'm Haley Hansen.
A county attorney in the area is having some issues with the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. The Cabinet recently ended its contract with Floyd County Attorney Keith Bartley to collect child support payments in the county. Bartley is now suing the Cabinet because he believes the contract was ended unlawfully. He filed the suit in Franklin Circuit Court on Friday and now waits for the next step.
I have court scheduled in Franklin Circuit Court on August the 15th, and we're asking the judge to enter an injunction against the Cabinet so that they cannot continue down this road.
Bartley's administration of the Floyd County program includes collecting and distributing child support, serving over 3,000 people. Those duties have since been assigned to Carter County Attorney Brian Bays.
Investigators are hoping tips from the public help them locate a Greenup County woman who has allegedly violated her probation. According to WSAZ, probation and parole officers have obtained a warrant for Kelly Dummett's arrest. Her whereabouts are unknown, and investigators are asking anyone with information to contact local authorities. They say she's driving a red Pontiac G6. Dummett had been given a 7-year diversion to potentially avoid jail time for her role in the death of Maddie Connolly. She was one of the two people originally facing manslaughter charges in Connolly's death. Dummett was arrested again in January for violating the terms of the diversion. It is unclear what violation Dummett is currently accused of.
After failing a drug test, an Estill County man accused of murder is back in jail. According to WKYT, during an Estill County court status hearing on Friday, Austin Shockley had his bond revoked. Shockley is charged with murder and assault following a deadly wreck in October that killed General Bowen and injured Mason Powell. The grand jury indicted Shockley for operating a vehicle under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to human life.
Police in Lexington are in search of a man who robbed a Ramada Inn this morning. According to WKYT, the suspect came into the hotel with a shotgun and robbed the establishment. Afterwards, the clerk activated the silent alarm. Police say the man escaped into the trees. During pursuit, they found a stolen Moorhead truck with the weapon inside. Authorities described the suspect as a white man wearing a dark hoodie and jeans.
Federal authorities sentenced a Lexington man and two Lawrenceburg men to lengthy prison terms for a conspiracy to distribute more than 6.5 pounds of deadly fentanyl. On Friday, U.S. District Judge Danny Reeves sentenced 30-year-old Miguel Esparza of Lexington and to 157 months in jail. 39-year-old Gaydel Ortiz Flores of Lawrenceburg to 136 months. Previously, 38-year-old Brian Hensley of Lawrenceburg was sentenced to 78 months in prison. Officials tell LEX 18 a joint investigation by state and federal authorities led to searches of the men's residences. Police say they found nearly 2 kilograms of fentanyl at Espreza's Fayette County residence. Ortiz Flores and Hensley were found with 1 kilogram of the deadly drug. Authorities said the drugs were intended for distribution and that evidence or processing and packaging the drugs for sales was also found at one of the residences.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight you can expect scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 68. For tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms, cloudy skies with a high near 79 and a chance of precipitation at 50%. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 66. For Thursday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms possible, mostly cloudy with a high near 80. And Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 83 degrees in Winchester, 82 degrees in Lexington, 81 degrees here in Moorhead and in Flemingsburg, 77 degrees in Inez, and 76 degrees in Ashland.
On our feature segment today, the Triplet Creek Restoration Project is nearing its completion date. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
The flooding from Triplet Creek in Moorhead has been a long-time issue for the area.
Mayor Brad Collins at the time had asked me to bring together some expertise, you know, from the university to possibly address flooding issues within the community.
That's April Reefer, manager of the Triplet Creek Restoration Project. She, along with the City of Moorhead, the Round County Fiscal Court, and Moorhead State University, have been working for nearly 15 years to restore the watershed to its original state. Reefer says the work today is the result of attempts to deal with the flooding in the 1970s when the creek was dredged and widened.
That doesn't work. Dredging allows for really quick drainage just in one spot, but what it does, it just speeds up the water flow to the point that it causes erosion on the bank, which then causes more sediment to be deposited into the creek.
Dr. David Eisenhower is a biology professor at Moorhead State University who has been working on the project. He says the damage to the wildlife from those projects can still be seen in the stream to this day.
Right in the area to be restored, there were quite a few non-native fishes in there, and that usually indicates some sort of habitat damage because they're kind of like dandelions, you know, they occupy damaged habitats pretty easily.
Prior to the dredging, Triplet Creek had areas of varying width and depth instead of a nearly constant, flat, wide level of bedrock. Eisenhower says that can really narrow down the creek's ecosystem.
To maximize fish diversity, you need a lot of different kinds of habitats in there. And as you might figure out, you know, if you get a lot of different kinds of habitats, you get a lot of different kinds of fishes that specialize on those different kinds of habitats.
So by restoring the creek to its original path, Reefer says both community and environmental benefits will be apparent.
It will provide a lot more habitat for species that are dependent on the stream. It will then increase the ability for folks to be able to use it for recreation, and then it also increases the flood capacity of that section of the stream as well.
Beyond the benefits to kayakers and anglers, Reefer says it will look better anyway.
We have collected over 200 tires just from about a 700-foot section of Triplet. So hopefully this will help aesthetically and make the stream more pleasing, you know, then to look at as well.
Dr. Eisenhower and his students will continue to monitor fish species in the creek once the project is finished, and Reefer is aiming for a mid-August completion date. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
It's 4:48 and 81 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this stormy Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Reds are back in action. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds are getting ready for a couple of games in Detroit just a day after trading veteran outfielder Adam Duvall to the Braves. Duvall was traded in exchange for right-handed pitchers Lucas Sims and Matt Whistler and outfielder Preston Tucker. Dick Williams is the president of baseball operations for the Reds. He spoke with Reds.com about the deal.
The winning vibe and the winning culture that have been present recently is something we've been looking for a little while, and we're pleased to have found it, and you know, we don't want to do anything to disrupt it. At the same time, you know, it's very important to continue to have a focus on the future.
Game time is scheduled for 7:10 this evening in Detroit. From elsewhere in the majors, badly needing outfield help, the Cleveland Indians have acquired center fielder Leonis Martin from the Detroit Tigers. Cleveland also received right-hander Cal Doty in the deal today in exchange for shortstop prospect Willie Castro. Tommy Pham was traded by the St. Louis Cardinals to the Tampa Bay Rays today for three minor leaguers, only a year after establishing himself as one of the National League's top outfielders. The Cards are receiving Justin Williams, left-hander Genesis Cabrera, and right-hander Roel Ramirez. And a man who was wearing a plastic bucket on his head when a large metal pin fell from Wrigley Field's center field scoreboard hit him during a Cubs game says he feels lucky to be alive. 20-year-old Kyle McClellar was sitting with his family and friends under the manual scoreboard when he was hit during last week's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The college basketball season is still 4 months away, so UK head coach John Calipari is using that time to better know his team. Calipari tells the Courier-Journal he normally doesn't ask much of his guys during the summer, but he took a different approach this year.
Normally in the summer, I back up and I get away, but with this group, I told them I'm kind of excited to be around them. We have 4 hours a week with them on the court, and then we got the Bahamas trip, where I'm going to be able to be with them. So, got a little bit of everything. We should be physically strong. We should be long. We got some quickness. We got some, you know, a bunch of guys that can make shots.
Coach Cal and the team head to the Bahamas next week to start off the 2018 Kentucky Men's Basketball Foreign Tour. Morehead State football has added two new faces to its coaching staff. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Blaine Macias and Jordan Huxtable will be joining the Eagles for the 2018 season. Macias will be assisting as a defensive line coach, and Huxtable will be serving as an assistant defensive backs coach. Macias was an assistant football coach at Division III Elmhurst College from 2015 to 2018. He coached at Notre Dame College Prep prior to that in the fall of 2014. He also was a head coach for a top-tier travel baseball team in Illinois. Huxtable arrives to Morehead State after coaching at Elmhurst College for the 2017 season. He spent the 2016 season at Northern Illinois University, where he was an intern for the defensive back coaches, specifically assisting with corners. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The Rowan County Senior High School football team held their media day Monday night. With more than 70 students on the team and some new additions to the coaching staff, Viking head coach Kelly Ford says this year's squad is one of the most athletic teams he has coached.
Man, they're working hard, they're itching to hit against somebody else. We had a couple guys move in that has really probably taken our talent level over the top. So overall, they're excited, athletic, and ready to go.
The Vikings travel to Montgomery County on Saturday for a controlled scrimmage. The team begins regular season play at home on August 17th against Morgan County. Officials in an Indianapolis suburb that's home to the Colts' summer training camp agreed to pay about $1.1 million over 3 years toward the NFL team's hotel rental, according to the records. Contract documents obtained by the Indianapolis Star through a records request show Westfield officials committed to paying half of the hotel rental bill last year while publicly saying that no city incentives would be used to help lure the Colts. The team is leasing a 152 Cambria Suites for roughly 30 days each summer to accommodate players and coaching staff. And Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs says he is staying with the Vikings for a while longer. A person with direct knowledge of the deal tells the Associated Press that Diggs and Minnesota agreed on a 5-year, $72 million contract extension, moving the star of the Minneapolis Miracle into the NFL's top 10 highest paid players at his position. Diggs has yet to post a 1,000-yard or 100-catch season, but his ability was on full display when he made the 61-yard touchdown reception on the game's final play to lift the Vikings to victory over the New Orleans Saints in last season's playoffs. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State Volleyball Eagles are ready for their first scrimmage of the year next Thursday at Marshall. The Eagles are coming back from a 3-13 season last year with one tied game, but Coach Warren Lipka says that this scrimmage is simply to see where his team is at the moment.
We get here and, you know, 7 days later, we're out there playing a scrimmage. That's an evaluation period. I could care less about the score. We could win 5-0. We could lose. That's not the point of it is get them out in a competitive environment against a team that's going to be a very good team and to see where we're at. This is our measuring stick. And that's what is a great thing about us and our sport.
As opposed to focusing on winning games, Coach Lipka adds that this year will be about taking the games one at a time. Thursday's game starts at 7 that evening. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. You can get more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose today after reports said that China and the U.S. are seeking talks to defuse an escalating trade conflict between the two countries, and equities also posted their biggest monthly gains since the start of the year, this being the last trading day for the month of July. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a gain of 108.36 at 25,415.19. The S&P 500 was up 13.69 at 2816.29, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 41.78, finishing at 7671.79. Shares of big exporters such as Boeing and Caterpillar were strong today on the news of possible trade breakthroughs between China and the U.S., with Boeing up 1.5% and Caterpillar up 2.9%. Deer stock also was a beneficiary of that news today about trade, as deer was up almost 5%. Today was the last trading day, as mentioned, for the month of July, and the major averages all posted solid monthly gains. The Dow and S&P 500 rose 4.7% and 3.6% respectively, their biggest monthly gain since January. The Dow in January gained 5.8%, while the S&P was up 5.6% that particular month. The NASDAQ, meanwhile, climbed more than 2% here in the month of July and notched its fourth straight monthly gain. With about 60% of the S&P 500 having reported, 82% of those companies have posted better-than-expected earnings. And the corporate earnings season continued today, with Dow components Procter & Gamble and Pfizer reporting better-than-expected earnings. Shares of Procter & Gamble were up almost 1%, while Pfizer stock gained 3.5%. After the bell, Apple, another Dow component, reported better-than-expected earnings as well. Stocks have been under pressure recently amid a steep sell-off in tech, as technology stocks have lost over 5% over the past 3 sessions after mixed results from some of the largest companies in the sector. Facebook, in particular, keyed some weakness in the sector after the company reported weaker-than-expected revenue last week, as well as disappointing global daily active users, which is a key metric for that company. And also Twitter posted fewer-than-expected monthly users for the previous quarter, and this also spooked tech investors last week as well. And in the commodities markets today, oil is down almost 2%, finishing at $68.77 a barrel. Gold was up $1.90 an ounce at $1,233.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up modestly, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.25%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were 3M and Pfizer, while the worst performers were Walgreens and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Illumina and KLA Tencor, while the worst performers were IPG Photonics and Chipotle. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 31 cents at 82.08, CSX up 39 cents at 70.68, AEP up 74 cents at 71.14, AK Steel down 74 cents at 4.63, Marathon Petroleum down 66 cents at 80.84, and Community Trust Bank was down 52 cents to finish at 48.83. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from RadioEye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. RadioEye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.